I was in China for 2.5 weeks and did teaching among younger Chinese, although you all are very young too. And today we had a speaker in our church who went back to the same place, and she showed her slides today and spoke. And I got to see some of our Chinese friends from last year on the slide today as Miss Margaret Mountain had gone to China again to encourage them in the ministry at Bridge Ministry, where Kathleen is at. You all know Kathleen. And she spoke at our church 2 years ago. As a result of that, we had 6 people go to China last year. And we are planning to continue that relationship because, one, we love Chinese, and two, the nation needs to be reached for Christ. So we are doing what we can to go and encourage them. So I am so blessed to be here with DCAN. It has been a long time since I have preached here at DCAN, but it is good to see you all again. And I bring warm greetings from our church on Sunday morning, Bridge Community Church. And we are glad to have you in our house of worship. Today I will be speaking on forgiving one another. And from the book of Colossians, I have a question because I don't read Chinese very good. So when you all were reading, were you reading Colossians 3, 4 through 15? Okay, that's what I thought you were doing, but I couldn't tell. I was going by the length of the verses. Oh, I think that's Colossians 3. So that is good. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you so much for the joy it is to gather into your house to worship you. And we pray today that you will give me clear speech, and that you will give the audience open ears and an open heart to understand your word, and that your Holy Spirit would do a change within us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I preached this message in my church this morning, and the sermon series I am preaching on is the one another's of the Bible. We are to serve one another. We are to accept one another. We are to honor one another. We are to love one another. We are to admonish or rebuke or reprove one another. And today was on forgiving one another. So I thought that I would simply bring the same message that I preached this morning. I want to let you know that my people who understand English fairly well struggled to understand the sermon. Not because of English, but because it was different than what many American churches will preach or teach. Today I want to speak about biblical forgiveness, and it is not easy to forgive the way the Bible speaks about. I think all of us could raise our hand and say, yes, I struggle with forgiveness too. But the words that I shared today were so strong and so hard and difficult that some of my people had difficulty grasping what I was saying. So I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit will make it clear to you as I speak. In Colossians chapter 3, which is one of the best chapters in the New Testament, Paul is beginning to get into finishing up the doctrinal aspect of his epistle. In many of Paul's letters, he has his first chapters deal with doctrine, truth. And then his last chapters deal with practicing the truth. And so in chapter 3, He says, because Jesus Christ is the one who has reconciled us to God through his death on the cross, we now are seated with Christ above, and we are to set our mind on things above and not on things that are on the earth. And then in verses 5 through 11, he says, we should put off these bad things that are in our life, like anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech, lying to one another. We are to put off the old man, the sin nature that was crucified with Christ on the cross, and put on the new man, Christ, who is the second Adam. And we are to be, as Paul says in verse 12, those who are chosen, holy, and beloved, putting on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so we are in the practical section of what Paul is preaching about, as he is saying, put on these good clothes. They smell good clothes. Love, joy, kindness, patience, goodness. And take off the old clothes that stink, that smell, like anger and wrath and malice and backbiting and lust. Put those off. And so today I want to speak about forgiving one another. And in America, we have a saying called forgive and forget. How many have heard people say that phrase? A few of you. We say, oh, you just need to forgive and forget. How many of you can forget? Forgetting is not easy, is it? And so I want to tell you a story about forgetting to show you how old it is. There was a king in China. I'm making that up. But it's a story, so I can do that. Whose treasury, his money and wealth were going down. He didn't have enough money. And he used one of his chemistry, his alchemist, we say in English, sort of like a pharmacy that would mix chemicals together. And he said, fellows, you have been working on the process to turn iron, tin, baser metals into gold. And I need gold. And you have been working on it for quite some time, but you have not done it. It was Monday. He said, you have until Friday to turn these cheap metals into gold, or your heads are going to come off. And so on Friday came, and many heads rolled as they lost their heads, one after another, until the king came to the last chemist who said, I've got it. I found the answer of how to turn metals into gold. The king replied, you better, or else your head will roll too. Let's hear the formula. And so the alchemist or the chemist said, you add some limestone, a rock, with butterfly wings and a dash of lizard tongue. That's a lizard. That's my imitation of a lizard. When he finished, the king said, is that all of it? And the chemist said, yes, that is it. And he headed to go out the door. The king said, do not leave town. Right, said the chemist. Oh, by the way, king, I forgot to tell you something. If you think of an elephant while you are stirring the pot, it won't work. And so the man lived to a very old age because the king would stir the pot, but every time he did, he kept thinking of the elephant, the elephant, the elephant, and therefore it didn't work. Forgive and forget is not easy to do. The Bible does not teach forgive and forget. So even though in America we teach it, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31, 34, and it is repeated in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, God speaking says this, I will be merciful to their sins, and I will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 8, 12, I will remember their sins no more. Now let me ask you a question. Can God forget? No. God knows everything. The English word is omniscience. Omni meaning all. Shunts is where we get the idea of knowledge. God is all knowledge. It is impossible for God to forget. So what does it mean, I will be merciful to their sins in Hebrews 8:12, and I will remember their sins no more? It does not mean God forgets. What it means is that God promises to never bring it up again. God will never bring up your sin again to your face. In fact, God will remember to not bring it up to you again. God will not bring it up to other people again, and God will not bring it up to him again. He will not bring it back up. So that is what the Bible teaches concerning the whole concept of forgiveness, that God will not remember our sins and he'll not bring them to us. And so we want to look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, and to find out how can we begin to forgive one another and to do it in a biblical way. Verse 12 says this, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, our sin nature was crucified with him. We now no longer need to be a slave to sin. We can serve God. We can live and do right because of the cross, because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so Paul says, you who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The word chosen there is that God has elected us, he has called us out, and God has called us to be two things, holy and to live in a love relationship. Jesus Christ has saved us to be holy, to be pure, to be righteous, and he has called us to be loving, to enter into a love relationship with God and with one another. God saved us. He chose us. He called us to be in holy, loving relationships with one another and with him. And so as we put on these clothes of kindness and compassion and humility and gentleness and patience, we are to bear with one another. And we are to begin to have patience with people, to have compassion upon them, to try to understand them, and try to be gentle with them. What Paul is saying is that you are to prepare your heart for forgiveness. Listen to this verse from Psalm 86, verse 5. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. I never remembered reading that verse before. God is always ready to forgive. I love that. Some people think God is looking around and seeing who he can find, and if they do something bad. God is not like that. Psalm 86:5, it says that God is ready to forgive. God is good. He is abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. And because God has poured out his judgment and his wrath upon Jesus upon the cross, God is able to forgive you and me of our sin because of Christ and the cross. And because of this, that God is ready to forgive, we should be ready to forgive. Is your heart ready to forgive? If you walk around like this, you wake up in the morning, I don't like this person. I don't like that person. If they do one more thing, I'm going to yell at them. I'm going to watch out for them to see if they do anything wrong. If your heart is like that, your heart is not ready to forgive. You are not putting on what Paul says in Colossians 3:12, a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You are putting on hatred and anger and judgment and non-acceptance. And so your relationships and your life will be hard. People will irritate you. People will frustrate you. And you will have difficult relationships. And it is because your heart is not ready to forgive. And so you are to bear with one another, to endure them, and to tolerate their weaknesses and their sins. And so this brings us to the act of forgiving in Colossians 3:13. That verse says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Here's the second thing that I told my congregation this morning that was new to some of them. In America, we will hear this, that God's forgiveness is unconditional. God will unconditionally forgive you. Now, what does unconditional forgiveness mean? It means that you don't have to do anything in order for God to forgive you. When I left Africa as a medical missionary years ago, my plane went through Paris, France. I was on this street that was not a good street. And as I was walking to the restaurant, past these very bad sex shops, this guy said, "Oh, you are the American. You have much money. Why don't you come in and to watch the women?" I go, "No, I am a Christian." He goes, "Oh, your God is my God. He forgive me, he forgive you. Come on in." And I should have said, "Get behind me, Satan," and walk on. But I just walked on. I said, "No, thank you. Bye-bye. De rien." In America, many people begin to think that God is a good God, a loving God, a kind God, and he will just forgive us. We are all sinners. It's kind of like in a classroom. God will grade on a curve. And since we're all kind of bad, God understands. God forgives. Let me assure you, the Bible does not teach this. If God forgave you without you doing anything, and he just forgave all of us, then why would he send Jesus Christ to die upon the cross? God takes sin very seriously. So seriously that he had crushed on the cross his own son. God loves you. He is ready to forgive. But God's forgiveness is conditional. Something must be done by you before God will forgive you. And the Bible says here, we are to forgive one another just as the Lord forgave us. We should do to others. In other words, our love, not our love, our forgiveness needs to be conditional like God's. The question is, what is God's conditions for forgiveness? What do you have to do in order to be forgiven by God? Some of you may be coming here to church today, and you know you have committed sin, and you know that you are not right with God. But you may not know what you need to do. And I want to just share with you clearly what the Bible says you need to do, I need to do, all of us need to do in order to receive the forgiveness that God has for us. First is 1 John 1:9. That verse says this: if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse or wash us from all sin. In the Greek, it really says it's a conditional clause. If we confess, God will forgive. Confess means that we agree with God that this thing we did is sin. God, I have sinned. The Bible calls this sin, and I agree with the Bible and with you, this is sin. And I'm telling you, I have sinned against you, and I have sinned against others. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to wash us from all of our sin. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin on the cross. You can be cleansed and washed of your sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of your good works. Not because you're sorry. But you are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Second, we need to repent. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, Pastor David Chang will be here, and I hear you have baptisms that are going on. And the Bible says in Acts 2:38 that if we repent and we are baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we must repent. But what does the word repent mean? The word repent means I am walking in one direction. I believe this. I am living this way. And to repent means that I stop, I turn around, and I no longer walk the way of the world, the way of sin, the way of Satan, but I say, no, I'm wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. And I now walk towards God. I now begin to obey the Bible, and I now begin to do what He tells me to do. That is repentance. And the Bible says we must confess and repent, and then we can be forgiven. Third thing, Acts 10:43 says this: of Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. And so as we turn to the next slide, we see that confession, repentance, and faith then leads to God forgiving us and us being reconciled back to God. And so that is why we tell you today, if you don't know you're going to heaven, if you do not know that your sins are forgiven, you need to confess them to God. You need to turn from them. I no longer want to do these, God. And then you need to trust in Jesus as the Savior who died on the cross and was buried and rose again. And when you trust in Him, Jesus will send the Holy Spirit to come and live in you to give you the power to live the Christian life. He will help you to put off that old sin nature and to put on the new nature that is in Christ. And therefore, in the act of forgiving, we are to forgive just like the Lord forgives us, and God's forgiveness is conditional. You must confess, repent, and believe in Christ. God's love, however, is unconditional. In other words, what I love about our God is this. You can never sin against Him in such a way that God will stop loving you. Jeremiah 31:3 says that He has loved us with an everlasting love. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies of God, Romans 5 says, when we were turning our way from God, when we were running in the direction, God still sent Jesus to die on the cross, and Jesus is the picture of God's love for us. God's love is unconditional. You can never do any sin big enough that God will stop loving you. But His forgiveness is conditional. You must receive the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Confess, repent, and trust in Christ in order to be forgiven. Without that, you will die in your sins and you will go to hell. Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. God doesn't want you to spill your blood, and that is why He spilled the blood of Jesus, His Son. Jesus died in your place. Jesus was your substitute. When I was a medical missionary in Africa, I would have people who would be sick, and because our refrigerator was not very good, it ran on petrol. Do you all know what petrol is? Gasoline? Have you ever seen a refrigerator run on gasoline? Many, many years ago. But in 1977 in Africa, that was the refrigerator we had. And it didn't work good. And so when we had people in surgery who needed blood, I would actually go through the fields with a banana and $5 and say, please, let me take your blood from you. I have your relatives in surgery who is dying and they need your blood. And so sometimes I could catch them. Africans are very fast. Sometimes I could catch them and then bring them back to the laboratory, put them down, put the tourniquet on, stick the needle in, and then take the blood. And I say, thank you, this blood can help save them. And then I would take it into surgery and give that unit of blood for their loved one. Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave His blood so that you could have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. God's forgiveness is conditional. His love is unconditional. And what's surprising about this is that we are to model our love, or not our love, we are to model our forgiveness after God's forgiveness. And this is what was kind of blowing the minds of my people, some of them, this morning. Because it has been taught in many places, we should just forgive people. We should just forgive people. We should just forgive people. And the Bible does not teach unconditional forgiveness. The Bible teaches conditional forgiveness. Why? God forgives us when we confess, repent, and trust in Him. We should forgive those when they begin to confess and repent. You say, this sounds really hard. I know in Asian cultures, one of the things, and we have this as Americans, to save face. And so many times somebody will hurt me. And we will just go, that is okay. Are you okay with that? Oh, yes. I'm fine. But when we see them, it's like this. We are not helping us, and we are not helping them if we don't deal with sin the way God deals with sin. So, look at this passage. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Jesus speaking says this, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Do you see what that is saying? If someone sins against you, you are to go to him and to say, you have wounded me. You have hurt me. You have sinned against me. And I really need to hear you ask for my forgiveness because my heart is not doing well. But also, you need to say it. I taught this in China last year in conflict resolution. And the Chinese say, this is not exactly the way we do this. I said, I understand. And in America, we have things in our culture that are above our Christianity. But what God wants us to do is not live a culture first, Christianity second. But God wants us to have Christianity first, and our culture is submission to the Bible. And so this is if your brother or sister sins against you, the Bible says that you are to rebuke them, to confront them. And if they repent, forgive them. And if they do this 7 times a day, you forgive them when they say, I repent. Therefore, Jesus himself was teaching conditional forgiveness. If they sin against you, you go to them, not to other people. Now, I understand that in some Asian cultures, let's say that I come over here and I offend this guy. And then he goes to this young brother and says, Randy hurt me. Can you go to him and tell him that I'm hurting and see if we can be reconciled? Have you all ever seen that happen in the Chinese culture? Okay, very often, probably. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if I affect him or wound him or hurt him, he is to come to me. He is not to come to him and have him come to me. It's to be direct. But direct is very hard. Direct means you are taking a risk of maybe not saving face, because I may not respond in a good way. It is a risk. It is living by faith. It is living according to the Word of God, not by our feelings, not by our culture. And so he says, now if we can have Ming, if you can. We're not going to play basketball, but we're going to come up here. I did play basketball in college, in high school, and so I love basketball, but today this is not a basketball. This is sin, okay? So, I am going to be the guy in Luke 17, and I am going to be the guy that sins against you, okay? And you are going to be the one that will forgive me, okay? So just go along with the story. So let's say that I come to Ming at 9 o'clock in the morning and I hit him in the nose. And I say, I'm just an angry guy, but then I feel bad and I go, oh, will you forgive me? And so Ming says, oh, I asked for forgiveness, I repented, and then he should forgive me, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then at 9:06, I come over and I go, boom! I hit him again. And I do this 7 times, just like the story in here. And he is supposed to forgive me when I ask for forgiveness. But in America, here is what people do. Oh, come on a little closer. Here we go. So I can get you. No. Ming, I apologize for hitting you.
Yes, I forgive it.
Oh. We do apologies. Did you know the word apology is not in the Bible? Apology is not biblical. And he began to forgive me, but I didn't ask for forgiveness. I just said I was sorry. I said, I want to apologize. That's all I said. That's not biblical forgiveness. But let's say I do this. Ming, this is sin. This is the sin that is between you and me. And I was wrong. And I shouldn't have hit you. And I'm asking that you would forgive me. So. Now, I have just thrown the ball in his court, as we say in basketball. It is his decision to do something. But if I just apologize, he just kind of sits there and goes, what do I do with that? Because it's not clear. And I have not really confessed. I'm just apologizing. But I'm not clear on what I'm apologizing for. And I'm not asking for forgiveness. I'm apologizing. The Bible doesn't say apologize for your sins, but to repent, to confess, and to ask for forgiveness. So when I say, I wronged you, I hit you, I sinned against you, and I want you to forgive me, now I give it the ball to him. And this sin, this choice, is in his hands, and he now has a decision. Does he forgive me or not forgive me? And so, because I hit him 7 times, he may have a little trouble, you know, he's got a little anger in there, and he's trying to say, I have to forgive, and all that, and how it's hard. And so finally he goes, I forgive. And when he forgives, he throws the ball away. Go away. It comes back. So now there is no sin between us. And now we are brothers. We can be reconciled. And that is biblical forgiveness. It is conditional, but it is biblical. Thank you very much. You are a good brother. We'll have to play basketball someday. So now that Ming has taken this sin and thrown the sin away, he says, I forgive you, Randy. He just made a promise. Just like God promises to forgive you of your sin if you confess, repent, and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so when he said, I forgive you, Randy, Ming was doing the same thing that God does with our sins, choosing to not remember them. And so Ming will not bring up this sin to me again. He will not bring up this sin to other people again. And he will not bring this sin up to him again. It is forgiven. And the way to forget sins of other people is to practice biblical forgiveness, which is conditional. confession, repentance, forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoring the relationship between one another. And so finally we come to the third point of the sermon. The end of forgiveness is reconciliation. This is why the unbiblical practice in some churches in America is bad. If I hurt Ming and he just goes, "Don't worry about it," and then he goes away, but inside his heart, he is still not happy with me, and he doesn't trust me, and he stays away from me. And it's because this has not been taken away. The sin is still there. Or as we say in America, the elephant is still in the room. This sin is a barrier between he and I. And the purpose of God removing our sin from us is that we would be reconciled to God and say, "My Father God, Abba God, I love you." And he puts his arms around us and he loves us and he accepts us. And we are sons and daughters of God. That's why God removes our sin away from us. And the purpose of biblical forgiveness is not that you're just forgiven, but that the relationship is restored. Some of you are married. Some of you have been married long. And sometimes in long marriages, they begin to have stuff, sins. They start out little, but they don't deal with sin. They bury them. They save face. They don't rebuke. They don't speak the truth in love. And they bury the sin. And over years, the ball just gets bigger. Until suddenly, the husband lives in one room and the wife lives in another room. And they hardly talk. They hardly meet together. And sometimes they don't even have intimacy anymore. And the Bible says that when we forgive biblically, the sin is removed, and then we can have love and peace and joy and relationship and be reconciled back with one another. That's what it says in the verse. And so we come to this verse, or we come to this picture, number 15, please. Ah, very good, I see that. Oh, there, you need black.
And number 15 is a demonstration of two Christians who are angry at each other, and they are not talking, and they are not forgiving, and there is a bar between them. The second one is that they have kind of apologized, they've talked a little bit about it, or maybe they're just trying to forget it. But they're not happy. Their smile is just... But there's no bar. But there's also the third picture, there's no bond. So now we see a happy face. Why? Because the sin has been removed, and now they are back in relationship with one another and enjoying the love that God has created for all of us to have with one another. So I want to ask you, which smiley face is yours? Is it the one on the left, sad? Is it the one that's just this, or is it the one that's happy? Do you deal with your sins with people? Either you sinning against them or them sinning against you. We should be running towards each other saying, "Please forgive me. Oh, you have hurt me, and I need to receive your confession and to be restored again." The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." Love covers a multitude of sins. In verse 14, we find out in Colossians chapter 3 that Paul says, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Love is the thing that will bind us together and have us in the relationship that is reconciled. And so God doesn't want us going around in our life carrying around sins that we've had between other people so that when we see them, we go, oh, I don't like that person. They did this to me one time. I don't trust them. No, if they do something to you, you go to them and you ask, you know what? When you said this to my face or when you said this behind my back, I was really offended and hurt. And I would like to ask you if you could repent and confess this to God and to me so that I could forgive you. This is a different way of living, but it is very powerful. I will close with this story. This is by a pastor, an American pastor. He said, I have a friend who recently became a Christian. She failed miserably in her sexual relationship with a young man who saw nothing wrong with having sex with anyone who was willing. After all, he said, it's just a normal need like eating and exercise. How could it be wrong? My friend fell for that type of foolish speech and then came to my pastor's office weeping and crying her heart out. I listened to her confession and then I reminded her of the reason Christ died for her. Next, I said to her, Joan, you have a great opportunity to witness to this man. Why don't you go to him and ask his forgiveness for having betrayed the most important person in your life, Jesus? Well, she did it. And he didn't know how to handle it. She went to this man and said this, I want to ask your forgiveness. Sex is a beautiful thing. God created it. And I cannot say that I did not enjoy sex. But last night I did something far worse than sleep with you. I failed to be faithful to Christ who loves me. I gave lie to the central belief of my life. I am forgiven. And things are okay between Christ and me. But where I really failed was in not showing you clearly about my Jesus Christ. When I slept with you last night, my greatest sin was in hiding Christ. Will you forgive me? That man is not a Christian because of her witness, but he is thinking about it. She had become one beggar telling another beggar where she found bread, and that was a whole lot different from one actor telling another actor where he can do some more acting. The church can begin to be like a drama theater where we have a mask. And we are acting. How is it between you and God? Very good, thank you. How is it between you, this brother or sister? I haven't seen you talk to them, and you used to be such good friends. It's very fine, thank you. We can be actors, or we can be real. And Jesus says, when someone sins against you, don't go to somebody else, but go to them. Why? I want you to understand this. When we try to save face and unconditionally forgive somebody by just burying it, we are being selfish. We are thinking about how we will look to other people. But when we are wounded and our heart is heavy and we are sad, we don't need a mask. We need to be real. And when someone sins against us, we need to go to them and say, you have sinned against me and I'm hurt. And I would like to forgive you, but I need to hear you ask for forgiveness and repent. When we do that, we could lose face. But here's the other thing that can happen. That person confesses and repents and changes. Reconciliation focuses on that person's soul and relationship with Jesus and their relationship with us. It's not self-centered. You are actually looking out for the welfare of them as well as you. Paul says in Galatians 6:1 that we should, if someone sins, we should go to them and gently correct them in tenderness and gentleness, not in anger, in gentleness. The courses that I taught in China last year were all about how to confront another Christian in gentleness and speak the truth in love. And they said, we've never had this teaching before. But I want to encourage you. If you have people in your life
who have sinned against you
and there is this thing between you and them, you know what it is. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. I want to encourage you to go to them. Get rid of the sin so that your relationship can be restored. And if they have sinned against you, I want you to go to them. If you have sinned against them, you go to them and ask for forgiveness. Because God wants the body of Christ to be together, not apart. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that Jesus Christ took our sin upon him on the cross. And that Jesus gives us very clear directions about how to deal with sin between another brother or sister. Father, I pray we will be obedient to your word and not submissive to our culture. May your Holy Spirit bring freedom today. As we confess our sins to you, we thank you. And we repent. We thank you that you are faithful to forgive us. Help us to be obedient to you, Father, whether we feel like it or not. Help us to do your word. Jesus said, blessed are the doers of the word, not the hearers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. 谢谢.